We are doing little role reversals here since Stephen has started doing the Wednesday night classes. I'm going to at least be the default speaker for the devotionals after the Wednesday night class, but we would very much like other men of the congregation to afford themselves this opportunity. Doesn't have to be long, doesn't have to be fancy, but it's a great time to get up and learn how to speak God's word in public. So we want to encourage people to do that. Tonight I'm going to have a little short lesson here about motivation and response. And I'm going to read a lot of scripture, some fairly lengthy readings. But I want you to look at two different situations. One of them is Isaiah and the other one is Paul, or Saul at the time. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people." I'm going to stop right there. But notice what happened. Isaiah is presented with his vision of God that was awesome and realized his sin. And then his sin was purged and taken away by God. And then when God said, "I need someone to go do something for me," what was the first words out of his mouth? "Me, me, me, let me go. Here am I." Acts chapter 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all those who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once and arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. And Paul spent some days with the disciples of Damascus, and immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. So here you have, if you compare these two, what do you see? Paul, who was an enemy of God, an enemy of Christ, faced with a vision, which proved to him beyond a shadow of a doubt who he was dealing with. And then he's forgiven and he's baptized and he obeys. And then what does he immediately do? He goes and starts telling it. What about us? Do we have a similar motivation? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So we have the same motivation. Forgiveness? Yeah. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So we have a motivation. And we even have encouragement and exhortation to respond to that motivation. How? Hold fast, draw near, stir one another up, and be sure not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. What have we been told to do? You know, Isaiah was told to get up and preach to the children of Israel. And if you read the rest of that chapter, it's a big bummer, because God says, you go tell these people, and here's what's going to happen. They're not going to listen. You're going to wear them out, and they're not going to listen. And I'm eventually going to wipe them out. I mean, this is it's just about as bad as the commission given to Jeremiah, that they were going to spend their entire lives preaching, and no one was going to listen. But Paul has a different situation, doesn't he? He's forgiven. He's motivated, and his response is to preach the gospel of Christ. And untold thousands and millions of souls were saved by both his actions and his writings that have been inspired by God. So here, we have the same motivation. We have exactly the same motivation as Paul and Isaiah. And we have a command. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. What is our response? That's the lesson for tonight. If you have any needs, please let us know. If you're online and you have any needs, let us know. You know, we can't bear one another's burdens if we don't know what those burdens are. Share them so we can bear them. We know we serve a merciful and loving God, and a patient God, and a forgiving God. If you have sin in your life and you need to get rid of it, do it tonight. Don't wait. If you have any other needs, come as we stand and sing.